Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
It's 3 o'clock on Dukes and Bell.
I find it interesting.
Thanks for making us your sports station.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We are Dukes and Bell, brought to you and driven by Kia. For more info, visit KiaDealers.com. There is a lot going on in and around the NFL. We got Thursday Night Football tonight, and we'll talk more about that game coming up in our NFL Blitz segment. But, Mike, lots of people responding and talking about, obviously, the Hawks, and as we open up the show today, kind of getting the response from guys on social media and on our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line at 404-741-0929. And I just think we don't need to rush to judgment. That's kind of where we're at with this Hawks thing, as we just had a great conversation there with Brad Guzan. If you missed that, it's on the website at 92.9 The Game. We're also going to let you hear Wes Durham, the voice of our Falcons, coming up in about 15 minutes. But one game doesn't make a career.
And that's how we started the show. I mean, nowadays, everybody's got to pronounce, that guy's the winner. That team's the winner. That's the loser. Like the Mavericks, oh, they got Luka Doncic. They're the guys that made the right call. The Hawks, oh, Trae Young. Yeah, the guy that only led all of college football with points and assists. Like, Carl, maybe both teams will be happy.
Right.
Maybe Luka Doncic will work out and be everything Mark Cuban wanted. And maybe, guess what? Trae Young will be everything we want here in Atlanta. And again, we've already started to build the pieces around. I don't have any illusions. One thing for sure, watching that second half, I'm not sure about all those rosy predictions we made yesterday about winning 35 to 40 games, brother. You got a lot of dudes out there that got D-League written all over them, but that's exactly what you do in a rebuild.
It is. It was ugly, 72-49 at half, and then as Mike said, late in the second half, I mean, I think Lloyd Pierce was trying to just get some guys in the game and get some playing time. But we'll see. When John Collins comes back, I thought Torian Prince, he led the way with 21 points. We'll see what Torian's going to ultimately be. I said, I think he's coming into his own. Mm-hmm. Hey, we're going to talk plenty of NFL about the Falcons. Here's what we know right now. Grady Jarrett practicing, Mike. But we're still, there's no definitive answer on whether or not he's going to play. Shelby or Sanu or Calvin Ridley, these are the guys right now that we're just hopeful for.
Now, I'm just glad that Grady's out there because certainly, man, Saquon Barkley, you got to be able to get some push at the line. You want to get Eli off the spot because, look, guys, we know what our limitations are. Any Falcon fan who's been watching all season, we're going to give up points. We just are. We're not the best tackling team. What's the line you came up with a few weeks back? You cannot replace a guy making $8 or $9 million with a dude making $700,000 and expect the same result. That only works on a few teams, that have got a lot, that have really drafted well and have great depth, like Seahawks before Russell Wilson's contract came up. The Patriots every year.
Right.
And occasionally teams like the Steelers. But that said, we know we're going to have to, we're going to have to score some points. But having Grady out there is huge. Grady, Vic, Tack. We talked about Jack Crawford. There was a stat that said, basically pass rush most effective when that's the four guys out there on the field.
All right, let's address what's going on with us today, because I know a lot of guys have seen our Twitter and are wondering what's going on. And you can follow us, guys, 929 The Game. It is Dukes and Bell 929. That's the radio show. Mike is at Mike Bell, ATL, and I'm at Put 'Em Up. See, Dukes, you're going, we saw pictures of you guys in a star studio. It's Jeff and Jen's show. This is our sister station, and today we're having basically a company get-together. And the get together is outside. All right. This is why we're here. And so you saw those social media pictures and we're friends with Jen and Jeff. I know some of you guys are like, wait a minute, they do different radio. Yes, it's a small world, but we're in their studio today. So Mike, for those folks who have seen those pictures, that's what's going on. So Mike and I are not in our home studio today.
Yeah, man. Basically we have a bunch of radio stations in the company and we get a chance to all get together and basically have like a picnic today, if you will. So we got tents set up. They got burgers and hot dogs grilling. It was frustrating seeing cases of Hay Man Ale ice cold in coolers and to see like friends of ours from V103 and Star 94 and our station all pounding Hey Man Ale, and of course we can't. Boss frowns on those kind of hijinks, so that was frustrating, but we are one big happy radio family. And it is kind of strange, as I started the show last hour, Carl, this was my old home studio for about a year and a half. Feels strange, very weird
coming back.
Yes, Because, I mean, the only thing good thing that happened here, Carl, I got a giant severance check. That's about the only good thing that happened when I worked off of Windy Hill. But and don't get me wrong. It was great that eventually I got to work with you, and that was exciting. But years ago, and radio companies get bought and sold all the time. And I'll never forget the time we were at Mike Smith's golf tournament. I'll make this quick. And we get an email, like, everybody needs to be at the office at 10:30, mandatory meeting. And Bo's like, what, they got a new promotions manager? I'm like, no.
Promotions manager.
maybe they hired a new sales manager going to introduce everybody. I go, nah. He's like, what does this mean? I go, it means we're all fired. I go, well, I'm not fired. You're fired. I've got a contract. But anyway, it was a very strange time. But it is nice studios. It is nice of those guys to let us steal them again this afternoon.
All right, so that's the deal. That's where we are. And we appreciate you guys checking us out as always. And thank you for making us Atlanta's number one sports station. Hey, kicker Giorgio. Is it Giorgio?
Giorgio Tavecchio.
He is at practice as well. By the way, his longest kick ever is about 64 yards. Now, I say that, that's great. But remember, Matt Bryan just blew his hammy out by kicking a 57-yarder. We only bring this up because I'm not going to dismiss this move this week. With all the guys we have out and all the guys we have or want to come back, this move, Mike, could be the difference between a win and a loss on Monday night.
Well, remember, guys, you know, we depend on Matt Bryant a lot to make kicks, which is, as you just laid out, we think that there's kind of like an automatic. Anything over 50 yards in the NFL, Carl, is not an automatic.
No.
We've seen that, you know, and by the way, you can count the good kickers coming out of college on one hand. There's so much inconsistency. You see that every weekend. But, I mean, I hope this guy's up to the task. I hope that we don't have to rely on a last-second field goal, because if this guy was any good, he wouldn't be on the Falcons. He'd have a job somewhere else. He didn't. He got cut. And so that's his lot in life. But I hope that, you know, he gets it together. A lot of kickers have made good with their second act, and I hope that Tavecchio can do the job.
So Calvin Ridley, by the way, is at practice, but no pads or helmet. So I'm guessing he's getting some work in. We talked about Grady. Julio's practicing, obviously. And then the one guy, Mohamed Sanu, was not on the field yet, according to some of the reports. Of course, the media, we only get so much time before they actually start practice. So that's some of the news coming out of Flowery Branch. We'll keep you updated as they get done with practice and hear from coach and others.
Now, do you get the vibe? It's different because of the work week. Monday is you know, obviously, you get an extra day to heal up. But does that Calvin Ridley not having a helmet on get you a little nervous on a Thursday?
Well, you get the extra day, right? So today technically is Wednesday, all right, if you're playing on Sunday. I don't know. If you're telling me Saturday, Mike, when they go through walkthroughs or whatever they're going to do, if he's not available, then I'd be worried. I'm not worried now. I kind of expected him to miss the first day of work. Mm-hmm. You know, when I say work, I'm actually the running the routes and all of that. He's getting the playbook in. But Saturday would be the day now because, you know, again, everything's been pushed back and we play Monday night. But I'd be concerned if he's not out there. That would be like a player missing a Friday for a regular Sunday game.
Now, I guess if you own Sanu or certainly if you got Austin Hooper in your fantasy league, I mean, you know those guys are going to get some stats. Maybe this is the game where Julio breaks out and gets in the end zone. You know, I know we've gone round and round about what matters, what doesn't matter. As long as the team is getting W's, I don't think anybody cares about how, you know, the stat sheet looks. But it would be kind of cool to see Julio getting a rhythm and him and Matt connecting for some touchdowns. But, again, Calvin Ridley's become a big part of our offense. And when he went out in that Tampa Bay game, Carl, we had three punts in a row in the second half.
Yep.
And I think a lot of that, I don't know, it was, you know, the blitz and what was picked up. But he's a presence as a rookie that was still missed.
It is Dukes and Bell. Guys, we'd love to hear from you. And then whether it's about our Hawks, which we'll talk more about, or about last night's debacle. A lot of people thinking that Joe West got the call wrong. I do not. I think he got it right.
He didn't get anything wrong.
I think he got it right. The deal is the Astros, though, now are in a world of hurt. We're going to talk more about that. But right now, let's get to an NFL Blitz.
Welcome to the NFL.
With news and notes from around the league, this is NFL Blitz on Dukes and Bell.
All right, lots of stuff going on around the National Football League. And, guys, we start first with Carson Wentz, who was limited along with others with the Eagles. Now, we talked about this. We saw the Eagles without Carson Wentz. They were not, you know, a juggernaut like we saw at the end of last season. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people said, oh, wait till Wentz gets back. They probably played their best game, at least according to Brian Baldinger yesterday on the show, last week. The Eagles, you know, when you talk about the injuries, they've been banged up as well. But they probably played their best game. But Carson Wentz limited along with a bunch of other guys today.
Yeah, I mean, the Eagles' offense has been misfiring. It hasn't been the same as last year. And, of course, you know, Jay Ajayi going out. There were some rumors out there about what they were going to try to do to beef up their run game. I mean, they're going to have – but you know what the Eagles are like? They've got a leg up on us because they beat us. But they've got to grind it the way we've got to grind it for a little while because of some of the issues they've had.
Yeah, listen, Mike, I don't know. I guess what we're getting to is coming into the season, everybody kind of thought, all right, the NFC is going to go through Philly. I don't necessarily
feel that
way.
No, it's going through L.A., man. It's the Rams. The Rams are going to lose a game. No one's going undefeated in 2018, but the Rams certainly look the most dominant. And remember, they had to overcome their own injuries in their secondary, and they're still finding a way to outscore people. Certainly, guys, the Falcons, if we're going to keep on cooking, and like right now my best hope is 9-7, 10-6, and you make a wild card, but there's still some games that could be lost because, Carl, let's just say I'm not trying to wish this on anybody, but if the Saints have to deal with the injury bug, they've been relatively clean so far.
Yep.
And it does seem to catch up with everybody at one point in the season. But, I mean, the good news is we got the W last week. It's not a must win, but we don't want to go backwards, Carl. Don't want to go backwards against the Giants. This is a team you should be able to beat at home.
I agree. Speaking of the Saints, real quick tidbit. They play the Ravens this week. The Ravens have the number one defense in the league. They had 11 sacks last week against the poor Titans. But Drew Brees, Mike, has never beaten the Ravens in his career. That's dating back to 06.
Interesting.
Yeah, he's never beaten them. So, number one offense in the Saints going up against the number one defense in the Ravens. We'll talk more about that later in the show. NFL is worried about the Chargers in L.A. You brought this up to me a couple of days ago, and you said, do you see what's going on out in L.A.? And I said, no. And you said, they're having a hard time selling tickets.
Yeah, Adam Schefter had a story. The initial story was written in the L.A. Times. They are not selling tickets. They've dropped basically what they're, they have their own budget and what they expected their projected budget to be. And they're just not going to be making the money they expected on club level, on season tickets. It's not an L.A. team. It's a San Diego team. And people from San Diego aren't really high on driving every week up to L.A. They're going to go to StubHub or a secondary ticket market. That seems to be what's going on. Now, the Rams are the show. And again, if you're L.A., L.A.'s a fickle town. The Rams are back. You got Goff. You got all the weapons. They're putting points on the board. You got Gurley. They look to be good for a decade, right?
Right.
Chargers got an old Philip Rivers and a bunch of guys, including a coach you never heard of. So who's sexy? Who's not? They're playing out there at the soccer stadium that the Galaxy uses. They will eventually share, supposedly, the stadium with the Rams. But now you're wondering, well, are they going to start using this? Will this be the new thing now? They're going to start moving these guys? The NFL's going to put a gun to some city's head to go build a new stadium for the Chargers somewhere?
This was a bad...
Maybe not San Diego?
But this was a bad move from the jump. We said it, right? I mean, you just mentioned it's a San Diego team. You're asking a lot of San Diego Charger fans, and I make this jump to L.A., and if you've never been out there, it's a haul, okay? But this was a bad deal in the first place to put two teams in L.A. when L.A., we forget, all of a sudden, no one in L.A. cared about football.
24 years without two teams in L.A.
It wasn't a big deal. The NFL has been thriving without having the number two media market when having football there. So nobody even cared. So now all of a sudden you're trying to force down the throat of football fans, a Chargers team that is just not appealing. The whole Showtime thing with Magic, it was sexy. It was something to it. And now the Rams kind of have that with Goff and Gurley. And as you mentioned, the Chargers don't.
No, there's no connection there. I mean, it's like when the Yankees played at Shea Stadium when they were finishing up Yankee Stadium in the 70s. Very strange. It's a stranger in a strange land. How about this? Article in the LA Times said, Salt Lake City wants an NFL team.
Ooh.
Portland wants any pro team, hockey, anything they can get their hands on. And the one that always keeps coming up, and it always was the one that people always get warm and fuzzy about, Tom Benson. He was this close to taking the Saints to San Antonio.
Yeah, it is interesting. I just think, with Houston and Dallas having a team, this has always been the thing. And if you are in South Texas, you're a Cowboy fan. It's just kind of what it is. They've owned Texas for whatever reason. And for years, they trained in Austin. They would come down. You had all these folks from South Texas going up to see the Cowboys. I think it'd be a hard sell in San Antonio, but maybe not in some of these other places.
And the craziest story of all would be the Oakland Chargers, because the Oakland Raiders obviously become the Vegas Raiders. You're going to have the thing there is they've got no money and nobody can afford the ticket. So where you can't build a new stadium on the East Bay side. So anyway, that's where the Chargers are. Nobody's interested in the Chargers in L.A. And for those who don't know the backstory, Spanos the Elder passed away. Mm-hmm. Alex Spanos, the owner. He wanted a stadium downtown right around the corner from where the Padres Petco Field is, and they could never get together. The hotels fought the hotel tax, lobbied hard to get that not to happen. So that's why they were stuck out there at Qualcomm, out there in the middle of nowhere. And he wanted a stadium downtown.
NFL Blitz brought to you by our friends at Jim Ellis Key of Kennesaw. Go see my friends 1221 Auto Park Drive in beautiful Kennesaw. It's Dukes and Bell. Guys, let's give you a chance to win some money.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is...
Groovy? G-R-O-O-V-Y. Groovy? I'm looking at Bo like, really, this is the word? It is the word. G-R-O-O-V-Y.
Yeah, that's groovy, man.
72881 is the number you texted to for your chance to win $1,000.
By the way, I love the compression on these microphones. This is like studio quality. You know what I mean?
I do.
Hey, let's get groovy. Smoke them if you got them, guys. Except for you kids, it's just not cool.
Hey, coming up, you're going to hear what Wes Durham, the voice of our Atlanta Falcons, had to say about this interesting matchup with the Giants. And what does he think about the curious case of Julio? Stay right there.
Groovy.
It is Dukes and Bell, guys. We're going to talk some Falcons. You're going to hear Wes Durham, the voice of our Atlanta Falcons, coming up in just a little bit. And we've got Hawks tickets for you. Make sure you stay tuned for the sounder. When you hear it, be caller number 9 to get tickets to opening night, October 24th. Mike and I will be there, as well as the rest of the radio station. It's actually our 6th-year anniversary, and so we'll be celebrating down there with the Hawks, who's been a longtime partner, really our first partner here with the radio station. So we're looking forward to that, but we also want you to be a part of it. Last night, we'll talk more about what we saw and what we thought with the Hawks and their opener against the Knicks. All right, Mike, we've been saying this all week. We'll continue to talk about tackling and how important it's going to be in this game on Monday night, specifically with their running back, Saquon Barkley, who, you know, listen, if you think Todd Gurley's the best back, and I have no problem with that in the league right now, this kid is on the come, and you've already seen his explosiveness and what he can do. And Dan Quinn, you know, was talking about his ability at his size to cut like smaller guys, but not lose any momentum. Usually bigger guys, it takes longer to whoop, shift positions and cut. Saquon's not that guy. He cuts right now, and then he picks speed right back up, and he's got breakaway speed to run away from guys. But we've been saying this, we got to get this guy on the ground.
Look, the dude is who's making it happen, whether you're throwing him the ball. And he's, and again, that's a problem for us, too, if you get the guy in space in the flat, if we're going to be in zone coverage. And will Dan and Marquand Manuel have to maybe get into some man-to-man type stuff, the way they had to adjust on the fly against the Bengals? The dude is tough to get down. And look, even with the Eagles, you know, thumping the Giants, he still got his. You know, I mean, this is a guy who can get you basically 150 yards on the ground, catching the ball in the backfield. He's tough to bring down. He's got the breakaway speed. He's everything you wanted coming out of Penn State if you're a Giants fan. Problem is you ain't got the quarterback. But if they don't get the pressure, and this is the thing. We talked to I got more guys texting me, hitting us up on social media. Eli's a bum. Well, yes, he's winding down. This is it. And he's not going to be playing any football after this year. But if you give the guy, you know, 1,001, 1,002, 1,000, he's going to kill you. He's going to get, and by the way, we still got, you know, occasional mismatches with our young secondary because of the injuries on a guy like Odell Beckham.
Beckham is a guy, too. I mean, I don't want to dismiss him. You know, we're all focusing, and we should. Saquon, to me, is the go guy. He makes their offense go because Beckham, they've not protected Eli long enough to really get Beckham involved the way they want him to. So let's not make this the week that's the case either, whether it's Rocky or True that's defending him. Let's hear from Dan Quinn talking about our guy, Matt Ryan. And Dan Quinn even believes that what we've seen with this offense can even be better.
He came in to this season already with high expectations. He's pretty accustomed to that. And he knows he holds himself to a really high standard. And for those around him, he does too. So I'm definitely encouraged by what we've seen so far. And we think as an offense, we can make a big jump to play it even better.
Listen, if they're giving me 35 a week, okay, and I didn't think this was possible. We've said this. We were one of the most elite offenses in the history of the NFL when the year we go to Super Bowl, right? I think it was 7th best statistically. I wasn't looking for that. But ironically, if you add up the Saints game, Mike, and you add up the Bengals game, and all of a sudden you go back to last week, we're putting up 30-plus a game.
Well, the biggest bugaboo was the red zone. And part of the reason we felt so bad after the Philly game was it was an extension of the last season. Remember the way that game ended with Matt couldn't connect with Julio? We go up to Philly, and obviously they just can't score points. And at the end of the game, with the game on the line, Matt couldn't connect with Julio. That seems like a distant memory because everything moving forward has been high-powered offense. The only drawback, with the exception of the Carolina game, is, and we brought this up with Wes Drewham yesterday, and that is you're doing the bare minimum in the run game. You're doing just enough to keep the defense honest. 21, 22 carries, you're barely scratching 80 yards. So that might be a concern moving forward. You won't be able to get away with that all the time. But even with that limited run game, Matt Ryan has been unbelievable. And the red zone performance is insane. We're playing at a clip, maybe even better in the red zone than we were in 2016 right now.
The kicking game, we brought it up as we keep an eye out on what's going on at practice. The kicker we signed, Giorgio Tavecchio, is there. But the decision made by Dan Quinn last week, the balls he had to pull the trigger on a 57-yard field goal where it could have either been, you know, missed You give the ball back with great field position to Tampa. All the things,
and they can kick a field goal and win the game.
And win the game.
Bingo.
It didn't play into your favor. Here's Dan Quinn talking about that decision.
As I'm getting to know Giorgio more, I'll have trust as we're going. But certainly, yeah, with Matt Bryant in those moments when you know at this space he's, you know, at a very high percentage, I'll still stick to the guns of what we think is the best spot. But, yeah, it definitely will have an effect.
Our guys
that's
are
not
asking
an
me.
Indictment on Giorgio. I want you to know that. You know, like, I want him to be the best version of him. And not to come in, well, Matt would have made it from here. I want him to say, man, like, we're counting on you to be really consistent and do a good job. So, yeah, I wouldn't ask him to do the same exact jobs.
I was just going to say, because guys are asking us all the time, what is this Tavecchio all about?
What's this Tavecchio all about?
Well, they wanted to move on from the big guy. They moved on from Janikowski into silver and black, and they punched in Tavecchio. He played 16 games. He made 16 field goals out of 21 attempts. I'm looking at the long distance. He was 3 out of 4 from 50 yards plus. I think you brought that up earlier. He was one missed extra point, 33 out of 34. Matt did miss an extra point last year, Matt Bryant. So, I mean, his numbers aren't bad. But he was out there on the float.
Yes. And you know, Dan Quinn, if you guys caught the end of that soundbite there, he kind of caught himself. Because what Dan Quinn is saying, let us help you translate that. He's not Matt Bryant.
Matt Bryant's got a bazooka for a right foot. You know, and Matt, we take 55-plus field goals as the norm. And any other place, now if you're outdoors, it's different. But indoors, Matt Bryant is money. That's what we call the money Matt Bryant. I don't know this Tavecchio. I don't know how he makes his living. I'm worried. I know that the kid kicked in the Pac-12. He was good at Cal. All right.
Well, here's the deal.
What are you going to do? This is it. I don't want this game coming down to a long field goal.
Yeah, but we don't have any room for margin or error. And that's the issue, Mike. If we have a situation where we're not able to score, let's just say in the first couple of drives, and all of a sudden you throw Tavecchio out there, and now he's missing kicks, we don't have an error of the margin of error to make that up. We're not in that position where you're missing 5 or 6 starters, and you just think that, oh, well, we'll get back in that position again. The reason why Matt Bryant has been so perfect,
right,
is because he's money. We count on him to make those field goals, to put us in position to not only win, but potentially win games. And I'm with you. I don't know. To me, this is the one thing going into Sunday that I'd love to tell you guys, yeah, we're going to be fine. I'm not going to say that.
Hey, can Squid Billy talk in our setup here at Star 94?
Well, I have no
idea.
Sure.
Talk, Mike.
Hey, there he is. So what did Gruden run him out of Oakland? Why isn't this guy a kicker for the Raiders?
I just think it was one of those things where he ran his course
Well, first of all,
there.
Time out. Before you answer that question, you got a little bit more bass in your voice in the studio setup. It's amazing.
Man,
okay?
I love the compression on this. Man.
It's unreal. You don't even sound like yourself
today. This is
today.
A real FM radio station.
I mean, I'm used to hearing you sound like this, man, and today you sound, oh, I'm not sure what
Carl,
happened.
Carl, lock it in and rip the knob off.
Which all you don't know.
Go ahead.
I have the voice changer in here, Carl.
I mean, they make you sound like you're going about 205 right now, man. About 205, 510. Sounds good.
I like it. I could get used to this.
Look at Squid Billy with balls.
All right, let me ask you this question. It's Dukes and Bell, guys. We're talking some Falcons. I'll let you hear what Coach Quinn had to say about Debo. Who?
Debo.
Debo. He's coming back. But, Mike, in each of the first 3 seasons under Coach Quinn, our football team has lost the game before the bye week. That is not a good trend.
So what does that mean? We don't consider Dan a guy that's working these dudes into the ground, right? He's not like he's the Coach Tibbs of the NFL. But so what's the deal? Why these guys already got their brain in the Bahamas? Because this is the one chance midseason guys get to get away, literally get away.
Last season, let's just go back. This game sucked. It was the Bills who beat us going into the bye week.
Well, that was no Julio, no Sanu.
That's right. Everybody
in the second half.
23-17, all right? 2016, we lost to the Eagles going into the bye.
That's the game where we had the long bomb to Taylor Gabriel, but they really you know what? The Eagles just dominate us on both sides of the ball. That was a game where we had a hard time running it, and we couldn't stop them from running it.
And in 2015, I'm starting to look ahead.
I know where this is going.
Blaine Gabbert beats us in San Francisco.
Yeah, the famous Dan Quinn kicking the field goal,
That's
right?
correct. So that's the last 3 seasons going into the bye week. There are 2 things that I always talk about. Going into the bye week, gaining that momentum.
That's going to the bye week with 3 crappy losses. Not just losses, bad losses.
Exactly. And so, you know, you want that momentum. But then also when you come out of the bye week, and we talk a lot about this, you get that extra preparation time, you're rested. There's no reason why your team shouldn't be ready to play. And so I'm a little bit concerned about this trend Because this is what happens, or what has happened over the last 3 years.
Yeah, man, it's a strange one to get your head around, because that's not the way it should be. Well, look, this is a these are all must-win games.
Must
until
win.
We get to 500, I mean, we're going to run out of schedule here. And this is the more winnable part of the schedule. The Giants guys, we knew that this was going to be interesting, because there'll be 10,000 Giants fans at the stadium. That's the way it is. They're a big money city. They travel, and with the secondary ticket market, there's always folks getting the tickets. So if you are there, and Quinn said, wants an electric atmosphere, sound off like you got a pair.
Yeah, wear black, by the way. Here is our Coach Quinn on Debo, guys.
Part of the process is on target in terms of what the doctor's guidelines are. It's a little trickier in terms of the guidance, because there's a window that you can use. You don't necessarily have to use all of it. So as we're getting closer to there, I'll give you an update. But at this point, he's onto an excellent trajectory of where we expected him to be at this point.
That's good news. That's good news. That's Coach Quinn on Debo. Deion Jones, who, by the way, I mean, we miss his tackling. Speaking of tackling, we miss his tackling desperately.
He can go sideline to sideline, Carl, and he breaks up passes. You know, you describe him as like a middle line, but he's an everything linebacker.
No, he's not.
Because he can do everything you need him to do in this offense. He can cover guys that are tight ends. He's athletic. He's quick. He can do it all. What you got?
I'm sorry. This guy just hit us up on Twitter. He said, Dukes, breaking news, Freddie the Falcon has just been placed on IR. that's how things are going.
He's hyperextended a wing.
Hey, appreciate that. You guys can follow us, man. Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'Em Up. See Dukes. Follow the radio show, Dukes and Bell 929. We got a lot of stuff to get into, guys.
Yeah, Coach Dooley made his way to Baton Rouge, and wasn't good. Get his take on what was a tough loss for the Dogs, or many folks said we saw this one coming. Coach Dooley's going to join us on the show.
Join Sports Radio 929 The Game at the 12th Annual Brian Jordan Celebration. It's the golf tournament, guys, the golf weekend, should I say, October 28th through the 29th, Chateau Alain. Here's what you need to do. You want a spot? They're limited. BrianJordanFoundation.com. And remember, we've got Hawks tickets on the way. Stay tuned, listen to the sounder, and be caller 9 to win them. It's time to talk to the legendary Vince Dooley here on Dukes and Bell. We get a chance to talk to Coach each and every week. Dogs, guys, off, and this is the norm before the big Florida game and the matchup down there in Jacksonville. Coach, we welcome you back to the program on the WaitForIt.com hotline. And as always, Coach, thanks so much for jumping on with us. How you doing today?
Well, doing great. Still trying to recover from Baton Rouge. in retrospect, as I look at it, not too surprising, because LSU is a hardened season football team that had played some tough competition. I think as opposed to us, we've made a lot of easy plays. There were some concerns about our football team, and after winning five or six ball games, and it showed up a little bit defensively. We're not as an experienced football team as we were last year, and not quite as good. But the good news is that we have now been into combat, a tough combat, and I think it's going to help us down in Jacksonville Saturday week.
Now, upon second glance, the LSU rush defense got a little bit better, but a lot of Dog fans, and Carl and I included, were saying, why didn't Chaney run the ball more? It seemed like we let LSU dictate the tempo once you got past that fake field goal.
Well, I had that question, too, and then I had the question about the quarterback. But on second thought, even though I felt like maybe during the course of the game we ought to consider making a change, but on the other hand, if you consider what Jake has done in some real tough situations, Jake Fromm, I thought it was a wise decision to stay with him and then have a better plan for the future.
Coach, in all the years that you might have called a fake kick, once that decision's made, did you second-guess yourself, or once you make that call, you roll with it? Because obviously Kirby and his staff saw something with LSU that they thought would work.
Yeah, and it would have been certainly wide open, because I never looked as the Ricardo as a great open field, broken field Herschel Walker runner. But nevertheless, I think the plan was that it was going to be wide open. And he does move pretty good. He's got pretty good speed. And if it's wide open, then he might could have taken it to the house. I saw LSU do the very same fake field goal several years ago, I guess it was against Florida. We tried one against Alabama in 76 that didn't go off too well. We dominated the rest of the game, but that was the one part that didn't go off well. So, on it looked like it was going to be open to start with, but their cornerback made a great recovery, and they tackle well. Their secondary is very, very good. So, yeah, I'm sure that Kirby would say I'd like to have that one back, but they really thought that it was going to be wide open, and otherwise they wouldn't have been sending rambling Ricardo running out there trying to chase a defensive back.
Rambling Ricardo. It is Coach Dooley with us, brought to you by Kroger. Joins us every week here. We're doing the postmortem on the LSU defeat. And as we said, a week to go before you get ready for the Gators and the cocktail party. You alluded to it, Coach. People want to see Fields because there's so much hype about him. We've never really seen the young man allowed to throw the football when he's been put in there. Kind of an RPO option. I mean, is it Kirby wanting to avoid a controversy, or they just don't have him prepared to be in an extended series?
I think that based on the fact that Rick Fromm has done so great going up to Notre Dame, and I think that it was the decision to put the ball game in his hands. He's more experienced. He's been there before. You could certainly make some case, well, we needed to make a change, particularly after the game was over. But during the course of the game, even though I had that thought, then on second thought, I thought it was better to go ahead and let Jake Fromm see if he could be the quarterback that would win the ball game. I think percentage-wise, it was the best call.
These Florida games are always tricky. We talk about them with you, Coach, every year. I think this year, though, when you look at what Dan Mullen has done in his first season there, I'm not sure if people thought they'd come into this game with just one loss, and all of a sudden, maybe whoever wins this game next week is in control of the East. You know what I mean?
Yeah, certainly at the beginning of the season, it looked like Georgia by itself as the top of the East. But what we've found out since that time is that Florida is good. They are well coached. Dave Mullins is a terrific football coach, not only quarterbacks, but they play on defense. They've got athletes. And I think it was characteristic in the ball game with LSU. That's two good football teams going after each other. And as I said, we hadn't been in that kind of competition. But the good news out of Baton Rouge is that we'll be ready to play Florida. I think if we had gone down to Florida in the same situation that we went to Baton Rouge, I think the outcome probably would have been in favor of Florida. Now I feel like we're ready for this kind of combat because this is true SEC football, and we'll find out a lot more about our football team. I'm confident we'll be better. The coaches will be better. The players will be better. And there's nothing like having some experience and being in a tough football game, and we have been in that, and now we're ready for the SEC.
So basically, Coach, LSU, as Jackie Gleason said in Smoking the Bandit, that was an attention getter. You got the players back and focused, and now there will be no let up. And you really can't let up, including the Kentucky game, because that's no cakewalk now either.
Well, it's going to be tough, particularly when you go into somebody's territory. I mean, it's like taking an inexperienced army against an experienced army in their own territory. And that's what happened in Baton Rouge. That's what's going to happen in Kentucky. But I do think it's neutral down in Florida. And again, I think we're in for one heck of a football game. And I'm looking forward to seeing the real Georgia football team show up in Jacksonville.
Everything's in front of them, Coach. You know, everybody is certainly feeling some kind of way about this loss to LSU. But as we've been saying, you know, you handle your business against Florida, you beat Kentucky, you're back in the position you want to be in, which is playing for an SEC championship. So as disappointed as Dog fans may be, and I know you've been hearing it all week, they still have everything in front of them.
Absolutely. I mean, it's all about winning the East. You win the East, then you win the East championship. You play for the championship, you win that, and you could be right back where you'd like to be at the start of the season. It's tough to lose, but a lot of times you learn from losing. There's no question that Florida has learned and has gotten so much better from getting beat. There's no question that LSU got a good lesson by getting beat by Florida. So I look at it kind of as a blessing in disguise. I think we'll be a much better football team because of the bad experience.
Well, Coach, we always appreciate the insight. How was Baton Rouge, by the way? I ran into a bunch of friends that saw you on the flight to New Orleans. How was the trip other than the loss?
Well, we spent a day or two in New Orleans, and the food was great. And the LSU fans were relatively moderate, calm, surprisingly. Well, maybe it wasn't a night ball game, so they didn't have time to warm up as they normally do. But and they were very courteous and good sports, and they should be proud of their football team. It's a tough football team, and that quarterback has certainly made a big difference.
He has. Coach Dooley, it's a pleasure. We will talk to you next week before the game that everybody will be talking about, Georgia, Florida. And enjoy your weekend, Coach. Thanks so much.
All right, guys. Thank you, and I'm looking forward to it. Bye-bye.
Answer. Take care, man. That's our guy, Johnny, was on our buddy Johnny Plops was on the flight, and Coach was sitting up front, and everyone was saying hi to Coach on the way in. And, yeah, you know, I heard there were a lot of dog fans. They were saying that it wasn't the usual. I don't know, maybe because it's across, you know, it's not a divisional, cross-divisional rival. Yeah. You only see them about once every 7 years or whatever it is, so it wasn't that bad.
And Alabama-LSU game's going to be, woo! You give them a shot? You give LSU a shot at that game?
I think Burrow will be asked to do things maybe he's not capable of doing. I think that it's closer now. I think they've got confidence. And just like the Florida game. That Florida game is not going to be the cakewalk we thought it was based on how Georgia smoked him last year.
Coming up, guys, we're going to talk more college football. What if I told you that there is an SEC coach who's making a lot of money, who could be on the hot seat, but he has over a $30 million buyout? We'll tell you about that coming up in less than 10 minutes. And football fans, hang out with Andy Bunker and Jarvis at Jimmy's Tequila in Doraville tonight from 8:30 p.m. to 10:30 p.m. to watch Thursday Night Football. Jimmy's Tequila, it's located in Doraville off of Peachtree Industrial Boulevard near the intersection of...
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.